good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, March 28th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe pleads with Japanese investors to do business with Harare.
The president is the head of state and government. He goes to Japan and they meet the leader of the Japanese country. It's quite significant because that's how you unlock investments in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe has been urged to craft laws for the economic empowerment of people with disabilities.
Most people living with disabilities walk in streets, sit alongside roads, begging for money, and so on. So if we start our own things, it will be better.
President Robert Mugabe, who is on a five-day state visit to Japan, has pleaded with the East Asian country's investors to do business with Harare. Mr. Mugabe arrived in Japan Sunday after a stopover in Singapore, where he regularly travels for medical attention. At a joint press conference today with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, according to the Japan Times, President Mugabe invited Japanese companies to invest heavily in his mineral-rich country. The president said, quote, Zimbabwe's doors are open to the Japanese investors and they should look forward to a mutually rewarding relationship with us, end quote. In return, Mr. Abe pledged to give Zimbabwe about $5 million to fund a road project. He also added that Japan will assist Zimbabwe in tackling the growing food crisis.
The two leaders are also expected to talk about reforms of the United Nations and the 6th Tokyo International Conference on African Development in Kenya in August. Earlier in the day, President Mugabe and his wife Grace met with Japanese Emperor Akihito and Empress Michiko. Economists, though, are warning that Mr. Mugabe's call for foreign investment in Zimbabwe is being overshadowed by his cabinet's decision to force foreign-owned companies that are not complying with the Indigenization Act to close shop by April 1st. The law compels all foreign-owned companies to surrender a 51% stake to indigenous blacks. Economist Dr. Gift Mugano, a University of Zimbabwe lecturer and senior economic advisor to the government of Zimbabwe under the Adam Smith International Zimbabwe Project, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe's visit to Japan is significant.
What you need to keep note is that the president is the head of state and government. He goes to Japan and they meet the leader of the Japanese country. It's quite significant because that's how you unlock investments in Zimbabwe. I'm sure you appreciate that Japan is a powerhouse in the Asian continent. So of late, we have seen a number of companies from Japan investing in Zimbabwe, for example, in the paint industry. And I believe those meetings, naturally, if head of state meet companies also dance in the same way, in the same tune. So it's quite important because that's how you bring in thoughtful investment, it's direct targeting for investors. Unlike a situation where you are marketing yourself without that closer collaboration of senior officials of the country.
But some economists are concerned that the pronouncement by the Indigenization Minister, Patrick Joao, that some companies might lose their licenses for failure to comply with the indigenization law might actually scare away investors.
Yes, you're quite right. I am also concerned. You see, there are a number of issues which need to be addressed properly. One, we are using multiple currency regimes. So under that environment, you can only get money when you get foreign direct investment into this country. You can get money as cash again when you export, or you get money from remittances, and fourth, you get money from aid. But the chances of us to get money from aid are very limited because of debt overhang. So if you the move by government to close the company by 1st of April is quite unfortunate. If it happens, My point has been very clear. There's no investor who wants to invest in a country where companies are being closed. Some of the companies are already in a confused situation. They don't know whether to continue the business or to close the company. So I don't think governments want to be caught in a situation whereby they are finishing an already ailing person, helping that person to commit suicide.
That was economist Dr. Gift Mugano, a University of Zimbabwe lecturer and senior economics advisor to the government of Zimbabwe under the Adam Smith International Zimbabwe Project. Mpilo Central Hospital, one of Zimbabwe's largest referral hospitals, closed down its outpatients department last week following industrial action by junior doctors. However, clinical director Dr. Solwayo Ongwenya confirmed the development but played down the effects of the strike, saying the institution will reopen tomorrow. The hospital, which caters mainly for the southern region, that is Bulawayo, Midlands, Maswingo, Matabeleland, North and South provinces, is also a training institution for doctors and nurses. Those affected are mainly chronic ailment patients and others referred from various districts. Because of the ongoing impasse between the Health Services Board and junior doctors over their contracts, the only doctor who was manning the department is said to have quit. Ngwenya told Studio 7 that tomorrow the outpatients department will be open for business, although doctors said they were not going to sign the new contract.
Meanwhile, the Health Services Board has just availed a contract for the junior doctors, indicating that they will get a total salary package of $895 per month, including allowances. But the doctors have vowed not to take it, urging that it violates their rights as workers. Studio 7 failed to reach Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Nyamande and the Health Ministry for a comment. The doctors are demanding clarity in their contracts relating to issues like failing college examinations, among other issues. But MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the government should just give in to the doctors' demands, as it was the ordinary people who were suffering.
We are very, very concerned by the reluctance by the ZANU-PF government to give in to the very reasonable demands that are actually being put across by the junior doctors. Because when you move around the country, when you go to some of the country's major referral hospitals like Parere Nyatwa, Harare Hospital Gomo, you go to Mpilo, you go to Gweru General, Mutare General, you go to Mashingo General, you realize that these junior doctors work so hard. These young men and women literally work their socks off for peanuts. So as a labor-backed party, we naturally are inclined towards protecting the interests of the workers. And these junior doctors are workers. So we call upon the government to seriously look into their very reasonable demands.
How do you view the impact, if any, of the strike by these junior doctors?
Jonga, the impact is devastating. As you know, the majority of the people who use these public hospitals are as the people who are about 90% of the population of Zimbabwe. There are reports that the outpatients department at Mpilo General Hospital in Bulawayo has been closed for a number of days now. So you can imagine the amount of suffering that the closure of the outpatients department at Mpilo would give to outlying areas in Matabeleland region.
That was MDC T spokesperson Obed Gutu in Harare speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Zimbabwe's health ministry says it is committed to reducing mother-to-child HIV transmission from 7% to zero in the next 2 years and has put in place programs to ensure that the commitment is realized. Dr. Angela Mushavi, the National Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission and Pediatric HIV Care and Treatment Coordinator in the health ministry, tells Studio 7 it is imperative for families, especially women, to go for early HIV testing. Dr. Mushavi says this will ensure that they are put on early treatment and have a chance to give birth to children who are HIV negative.
We have seen some tremendous progress in Zimbabwe as we scale up our programs to eliminate mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And in fact, in much the same way that Cuba was declared the first country to eliminate new HIV infections by the World Health Organization, we can say that in Zimbabwe we are doing the preparatory steps towards certification. As I said, the mother-to-child transmission rate has gone down to less than 7%. And so we need to work hard this year to get to less than 5%.
What are some of the steps that you are taking as the health ministry in the country to try and get this percentage to continue going down?
We have to focus on policies that are not performing as well as they should. By this I mean, you know, for us to reach certification, we have to reach 95% of all pregnant women with antenatal care services. And when they present to our clinics, then we have to test 95% of them for HIV. And in those that are found to be HIV positive, then we commence them on lifelong antiretroviral treatment, and our coverage must be up to 90%. So right now we are working to improve our process indicators, as I explained, and so it will take about a year for us to get to those milestones.
Some may be listening out there. If you can just explain to us, what is mother-to-child transmission? You in the past have been urging a lot of women to get tested, and especially pregnant women. Please tell us, what's the importance of them getting tested?
The importance of a pregnant woman knowing her HIV status is that if she happens to be HIV positive, we have medications or antiretroviral medicines that we can give to her to prevent the HIV virus from passing on from the mother to the baby. And the HIV virus, if the mother is HIV positive, can pass on to the baby when the mother is pregnant, or it can go to the baby at the time of labor and delivery, and sometimes even during the breastfeeding period. So it is important very early on in a woman's pregnancy to get tested, because if she's positive, we can start her right away on antiretrovirals, and this will reduce the risk of the virus passing on to the unborn baby and even passing on to the baby during the breastfeeding period.
There are some HIV positive women who ask, is it possible for them to give birth to a child who's HIV negative? What steps should they be taking?
And we have seen, like when I say that the mother-to-child transmission rate is now less than 7%, what it means is if we took 100 HIV-positive pregnant women and we did nothing, then 30 to 40% of them, or 30 to 45 out of 100 HIV-positive women would pass the HIV virus to their children. With antiretroviral treatment, what we are calling Option B+, we can reduce that number to only less than 5 women out of the 100 women that are HIV positive passing the virus on to their baby. That is if we don't do other things. So the risk can reduce very significantly. And what we are saying is we need to reduce the rate of mother-to-child transmission, or the number of women passing on the virus to their babies, to less than 5 out of 100 women that are HIV positive. Now, for us to be able to achieve that, then it is critical that women come into antenatal care early, they get tested early, and then they are started on lifelong antiretrovirals, which they continue to take even after the baby is born, during the breastfeeding period, and they even continue after the breastfeeding period. And that protects them should they have another baby and another baby. And what we are seeing is quite a significant number of women have had 2-3 children that are being born HIV negative, and if they themselves are living with HIV.
That was Dr. Angela Mushavi, the National Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission and Pediatric HIV Care and Treatment Coordinator in the Ministry of Health, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.